right, you're listening to A Pause Edge on the Fringe, a leftist atheist podcast sponsored by the Atheist Society of Knoxville. We are your hosts. I'm Dustin.
Al.
And no Sam.
No Sam.
No Sam today. What's Sam doing?
He went on a vacation.
Objection, hearsay.
I don't know. I do not recall.
No, that was just a reference to the Amber Heard trial. Have you been keeping up with that at all?
Uh-huh.
Have you been keeping up with the Amber Heard trial at all?
I've seen the shit going back and forth of, like, other people watching it and their takes and...
I've seen several clips of that.
I've seen some clips, but
a lot of it is just Amber Heard's attorneys just making themselves look like complete, like, incompetent douche nozzles. Like, one of the attorneys objected to his own question.
Yeah.
Which was funny. But another one was like, he kept the mega pint. Did you pour yourself a mega pint of wine? He's like, a mega pint? And
his reaction, I did see the video on Reddit with him, him reacting to the lawyer, and his reactions are pretty funny and probably how I would be in those situations.
So what I think those attorneys were doing in those moments, because what he did repeatedly was ask the same question. Did you
sign this document? Is this the document you signed on the third time or the fourth time? He's like, is that the same document that I signed three times before?
I'm like, wondering if, you know, but I mean, Johnny Depp has been fucking totally classy this whole time. I mean, funny as hell too. And his response is really funny. But I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get like an emotional response from him, an angry emotional response that they can show the jury. As I think that's why they're trying to, like, they keep repeating these questions to get him aggravated, to get him to outburst. But, you know, he's been calm, cool. In fact, he's been laughing throughout the whole trial. Goddamn, his attorney has reached over and, like, whispered, like, stop laughing.
The man's a fucking actor. You know, like, he has control over his behavior and actions. You know, and that's so, I think, when we're looking at how calm he is, like, yeah, in a situation like that, he's probably going to be able to hold his reactions to things a
except
lot
his
than
laughter
other
he has been unable yeah. to withhold his laughter. But it's not, it's really hard when they're like, I've seen a lot of comments that they're wish.com attorneys for Amber Heard, because they're just, oh man, the line of questioning, because I don't think they really have a case. You know, they get onto him about, you know, trying to stay on point, don't waste the court's time. And he's like, you just spent 5 minutes looking for a document.
Right.
You know, so, but yeah, it's been an interesting one. So I'm enjoying following. You don't really see a lot of men coming out about, you know, domestic violence at the hands of women. You typically don't.
I think they're both toxic people, period.
I've seen texts back and forth.
Some people don't want anybody sticking up for Amber Heard. Some people don't want anyone sticking up for Johnny Depp. And there's all this discourse going back on what an abuser looks like, what a victim looks like. I think they're both toxic as fuck.
The whole
Maybe
relationship was
the
toxic.
Thing is so you get abusive relationships, though. Like, typically, the person being abused will cower down, but every now and then you will find one that's like, man, fuck you, I'm not doing it, and they fight back. Which one is the aggressor? I don't know. I do know it's not a good look that Johnny Depp has always dated people like 20 years younger than him and like less successful. Like, he has the power advantage in those relationships, and that complicates everything in my view. And I can't say one person's a victim and the other one's not.
The audio I've heard does paint at least a picture that leans more towards as Amber Heard being the physical aggressor in the relationship. I'm not sure
may be, but at the same time, if she's dealing with psychological abuse, people are going to lash out and react the way they can. If she doesn't feel like she has a way to fight back in that way, she's going to find an alternate way to fight back.
One of the most damning audio, though, came from I'm sure everyone's heard it by now, where she's like, okay, tell the world, Johnny, tell the world that I, Johnny Depp, a man, you know, was a subject of domestic violence. Tell the world, Johnny, see if you can get a jury to agree with you. And that was played. That was probably one of the most damning things. But it's been kind of a shit show circus. But it's been entertaining to watch, at least. I don't know how it'll come out. I wonder. I mean, most people I know are Team Johnny, you know. But I don't know. It's a defamation case, and there's a lot involved in there.
I've seen a lot of Team Johnny, but at the same time, like, I grew up around abuse. I know there are times that I fought back, and it was because, like, I didn't feel like I had any choice. So just because somebody gets like violence in response to it, like that doesn't necessarily make them the abuser, you know, like there's people are going to react into things in different ways. And I think it is really damning the fact that he goes to people that are below him in power, like all his exes, they're all like younger, less successful. It gives him an advantage in relationships. And like, that's uncomfortable to see no matter who it is.
I think my slant towards Johnny Depp is basically because what's been presented to me, what I've seen. And I'm not seeing the whole picture. I'm seeing what is just what I come across, and all of it seems damning in one direction. Mainly, I've seen some texts that were sent not directly to Amber, but about Amber to other people. That I'm like, damn, bro, like that's.
And you know that same goes the same way. Like I've said some horrible things that I wish would happen to my mom. Well, yeah, she fucking abused me for 27 years. Yeah, I do wish things would happen to her. I'm not gonna do them, but like, you know, if she got hit by a fucking train tomorrow, I'm not fucking crying about it.
I'm sure the text I sent during my divorce proceedings about my ex-wife,
like
would have been
when you reach a point, you say some like fucked up things, and like some of them you mean. Like I can honestly say the day I find out my mom died is going to be like the most liberating day I ever have. I don't necessarily wish specific death upon her now, but I just like I don't care at the time. Though I remember being really sad when a tornado that went through that town didn't hit her house. That was probably the closest I've ever been to praying, as I prayed that tornado tore her shit down. I was going through a fucking court battle with her. She was like talking about taking my kid away from me. Yeah, I thought some really fucked up things about her, you know. That's what happens when you push people to a point.
Yeah, and I guess the other part of my slant is I have never experienced either mental or physical abuse at the hands of a partner, whereas a lot of people have. And I know the whole relationship that between Johnny and Depp was just toxic as fuck. I mean, there's nothing ever healthy about the way they interact with each other.
No.
But it's just, again, it's what was presented to me through the lens of what the algorithm shows me is what my slant is towards, you know.
It's difficult for me because I see the power dynamic in the relationship.
Well, I think also because she was cheating on him with Elon Musk in 2015. So.
Right, but there's that power relationship. I see these elements of being backed in a corner in both of them. But I can't, like, I grew up with a woman abuser. I've seen my mom abuse my stepdads. So I know damn well that women can be abusive. Sometimes just as, if not worse, like than men can. So I'm not in the camp of, oh, there's no way he could be abused because he's a man. Like I don't automatically think the man's an abuser in a relationship because I've seen it. But this situation when like what we're getting is little bits and they're both showing awful. I don't fucking know. I really don't know who's the main abuser or not. Who's reacting and who's not. They're both just toxic. And like, I mean, I'm one of the people I know Sam would say like his movies are shit. I like Johnny Depp's movies.
I love Johnny Depp's movies. Like Sam's not here. We can enjoy movies right now.
Yes. I've always have. I like Tim Burton because like I like that he makes a dream world into like something real that we could, you know, I appreciate the art in them. Not saying that Johnny Depp's the best actor out there, but like he entertains me.
He's a very very entertaining guy. Again, during the trial, he's entertained me throughout the whole trial. He's been very very funny, very cool, calm, collected, and he seems at least during the trial when he's on his best behavior, he knows it's being televised. You know, at least. But again, behind closed doors, and I want to know just. How do they get all this audio? I mean, how much security, it's like recordings do they have throughout this entire house? Because they had conversations picked up from everything.
I mean, that
house got to be wired like a bitch, man. Right. Jesus Christ. I mean, like, how do you just randomly pull up this shit? Like, just have this random conversation? Like, that's just so strange to me. Yeah. I don't know if I'd want that. I don't know if I'd want, like, video was fine. I don't know if I'd want, like, constant audio always being recorded.
I don't even want video being recorded inside my home,
right?
You know, like, no, if thanks. I walk into somebody's home, I can understand being at the door, like there's the, yeah, but monitoring everything happening inside just feels really gross to me.
Honestly, we only got into this topic because I wanted to object. Because there's so many objection hearsay jokes that I thought it'd be funny to do.
You didn't even get the I don't recall for Marjorie.
We'll get to there. we'll get to Marjorie later. Man, what a shit. That was a shit show hearing too. But anyways, beer time. This one I believe I had last year early on. I don't know if it was the same one, but there's a lot of stuff in here. Let me just read off this list. It's a maple pecan praline, the Wake and Bake, coffee oatmeal imperial stout. It's the 2021 reserve, so it's still from last year's batch from Jittery Joe's, wherever that's at. I don't know, but it's fantastic. It's a fantastic beer. It's just loaded with flavor, and I'm glad to be going down this journey again. It's a wonderful beer. You should pick it up at Middlebrook Liquor Store if you're ever in that area. It's fucking probably a beer and beer market. I know they have fucking everything under the sun there.
Yeah, I'm still on Sweet Baby Jesus. Gonna be Java. Gonna be on it next week too, because I'm only drinking one beer on Thursday nights right now.
This I'll only have two today, but they're really good, and I will consume them when I'm not recording the podcast. So I'll have. I did see the other one I was going to pick up last week. From Norris. I saw it again, but I don't know what to think of it. It's called 29 Pound Brown, and it's a 29 pound, like it's got a fish, like it's because it's fucking Norris Lake. Yeah. But so I don't know what to expect from that. This I know what to expect. But anyways, our first story it's a twofer. We got two bullshit stories where nothing really happened. The thing they say didn't happen, but they just took it off and ran with it. So yeah. The first up is Tommy Lauren came to UT because UT has a chapter of Turning Point USA. That's a thing. I didn't know that UT.
Yeah,
had,
yeah, yeah.
I did not know that. So she came into the hall. I'm not sure what she even talked about. I know she became famous when she started making posts and shit during the 2016 election. She's on Fox Nation now. All around garbage person. All she does is just tweet dumb shit, and she gets called. I only see it because I see the responses to her tweets from people calling her a dumb cunt.
Right, right.
Like, so she's not a bright individual. But anyway, so the tweet that immediately draw our attention. I guess Sam brought it to our attention first because he's a Twitter whore. First and foremost, like, he gets everything from Twitter. He found this tweet. So this is her. I spoke at University of Tennessee a few days ago and experienced a new leftist tactic. The tweet said, these liberal freaks on campuses are now gorging themselves on watermelon and refried beans in an attempt to barf on conservative speakers. Yes, you read that correctly. Good Lord.
So I read this and my first thought was, what the fuck is she talking about? First, if anybody like threw up on any of these bastards, I would know about it. Someone would be sending me this information and be like, you won't believe what happened. You'll love this. It didn't fucking happen. And 2 days after she made the post, we found out like where it all came from.
Yeah. So this guy named, Kurt Schelzig, he planned on showing up with this watermelon and beans to troll her. I guess he'd learned this tactic from, Eric Andre, some like online personality comedian who acts ridiculous at like far right events. He's like, I'm going to do that too. So he's like, I'm going to bring a watermelon and eat it loudly because that'll be funny as fuck. Like, it's a stupid troll.
It's weak.
It's weak sauce, right? It's weak. He did have a few zingers in here though, before he embarrassed himself, I think. But he says, I may disagree with you on some things, but I can appreciate that you may be the most active person I've ever seen advocate for white nationalism without ever saying it. So that's was good. The other one was good. Let me ask this better. How do you manage to consume so many lead paint chips? Because I usually barf on the third or fourth bag. So that's probably where she got the word barf from, because she heard that. And then afterwards, he gets so butthurt that they confiscated upon entry this watermelon and beans. I guess he planned to give the beans
to
for what
Tommy.
To what end? I don't get that part of that.
It's like, okay, I'm a troll. I don't understand this trolling. Like, it's I don't get it. But at the same time, like I told you in our text, like if I had was going somewhere and I had something that I planned, and if I had props or something, or if anyway my plans to troll somebody were like intercepted and I wasn't
thwarted
able
in
to,
any way,
yeah, I would be pissed, but I wouldn't tell the person. There's no way I would tell the person, oh yeah, I was gonna do this, but you guys took my shit. I wouldn't give them the satisfaction because that shit hurts.
Yeah.
They don't need to know they hurt me.
Like, so here's a quote. So here's, so her tweet came, so that tweet that I read earlier came from this statement. The cops took my watermelon outside. They took my beans. It made me very uncomfortable. I'm a very pro Second Amendment person. That's beans and watermelon, not sure.
It makes it me. It makes it seem like he was planning on defending, like, so arms. The
beans for my family.
Yeah.
I'm a very pro First Amendment person. It seems ridiculous that the cops would take my watermelon. So he's so butthurt that his troll got thwarted that he told Tommy Lauren at the event, and then she's like, they were going to gorge themselves on the watermelon beans and then barf on conservative speakers because that's what the far left liberals are doing now.
It's so dumb. All of it's so dumb.
It's so dumb. And her followers aren't going to fucking fact check that. They're not going to. They're just going to be like, no. They're just going to share it out like these fucking ridiculous fucking liberals.
So now we got to start taking fucking beans and watermelons to protest. Just to fuck with them.
No, watermelons are cumbersome as fuck. I'm not carrying a goddamn watermelon.
Get those small seedless ones.
Then you gotta cut it open.
I have a wagon. I can pull a bunch of.
It's a dumb troll.
Pull a bunch of watermelons.
It's a dumb troll. It was stupid, and the fact that he gave her the ammo of this tweet by bitching about the failed troll attempt is just embarrassing.
I bet she still would have written something ridiculous like that about the watermelon and beans.
But that's just an example of, you know, like. She took something. She had no idea why he even had that. But if someone said that someone brought watermelon beans, my mind isn't going to go like, I bet he was going to eat that so much that he would come up and throw up on me. Like, where does that even come from?
I'm not even sure a watermelon and a can of beans would even get anybody to the point of throwing up. Honestly, watermelons are really fucking light.
It's just mainly water. Yes. Obviously, hence the name of the fucking melon. Like, you're going to go piss, maybe. I don't know. It's fucking stupid. But hey, it's just an example of people picking up stupid shit and running with it. And we have another example. This is Sevier County.
Yeah, this is Sevier County.
This isn't the furry thing anymore, right? Or is this still part of it?
Oh, they're still going on about the furries, but I'm going to get into this new thing.
I had an employee asked me today. They said, because they always ask it because they know it's podcast day. They always like, what are you going to talk about? I'm like, oh, we have several topics. And they're like, are you going to talk about furries again? I'm like, probably, because they won't stop.
So I came across in the anti-mask group here in Knoxville because I'm banned on both of my accounts, and if I can't like talk on Facebook, I might as well go MA as
you,
well. Go
you
read
got
their
re-banned
shit.
For a post 5 years ago.
I did, and like a week into my 30-day ban on my main account. They found a post from 2017 that had a man and woman standing on the beach with their hands down each other's pants, and it said, "True love is fingering each other's buttholes by the sea." And that violated community standards. And I appealed it, and they're like, "Nope, this does it." So
they said it doesn't.
It does. It does violate it. They kept it down.
I've seen posts that said, you know, they're talking about boomers and this, and then millennials, we eat ass. And that was allowed to fly, but you're fingering each other's buttholes. Like, no. The Zuckerbots are out for you, man. Like, you better just give it up.
I really think, like, it's one of two things. Either they have all of the bots go, or the fucking algorithms, they reloaded it again and are running it through everybody's profile, because they do that from time to time. Or they got someone who reviews the when you shake your phone and you report a problem with the app, like, it's a human that gets that. I did so fucking many of those, so one of them may have gotten really pissed off at me and like scrolled through my page just to find something.
That's
to be like, fine.
Yeah,
I know, that'd be really hard. That'd take a long time. So I think it was an algorithm.
Because, and what got me most, it wasn't a memories post, because it was like a September or something post. I was looking to say, like, maybe it came up in like the memories and it flagged. No, this was some random
it's happened to me before, and when it happens to me, a lot of other people on my friends list are saying like they got in trouble for the same meme or something like that. So yeah, every now and then Facebook just runs the fucking algorithms through all the profiles.
You're fucking
and,
83 days is it now?
Yeah, no, that's only on my backup, and it's for going live or advertising. I can't do that for 83 days. I can't all my posts and groups are gonna be like down prioritized for 52 days.
Jesus.
And I need post moderation on all posting groups for 22 days.
And all posting, like, even if the group doesn't have
post moderation.
You're going to piss off the admin. Like, what the fuck? I don't have this turned on.
Oh, they're, most of them are used to me. This, like, actually, that account, pretty much for the 2 years I've been using it as a background, or a backup account, I have not been able to make a post in groups without needing moderation. Because when I started using it, it was Hip Nashville. And I was pissing them off, getting all these, so they just put me, like, it's been fucking 2 years of me not being able to post without it needing to be moderated. I even tried to start my own group and add people into it. I can't add people into my own group. I can't do shit with groups and haven't been able to on that profile for 2 years.
So this is the Knox County against men. Is it mask mandates or is it just mandates?
It is. Are you going to let me talk about this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
You know more about this than I do, because that group enrages me. So, like, I can't, like, I can only deal with shit so much. Like, I will get into WBIR articles and comments for a while, but then I can just go away. Like, you, it's part of your feed. You see this shit. So, you saw this one before I did.
So, scrolling through the page, and I see somebody, they're like, this isn't Knox County and not mask related, but look what Sevier County did. And she posts, like, these screenshots, and it's like, the school, Sevier County Board of Educated voted for this to be taught to your kids, with little warning signs. Screenshots of what tweens and teens will be seeing with this new SEL curriculum, and also why other parents have gotten it removed from their schools. Also, parents have no access to this digital curriculum, and this curriculum encourages kids to not seek moral or emotional guidance from their families, but to rely solely on this curriculum instead. So I'm looking through it, and, like, they're posting things that have screenshots that say, is something wrong with me because I like BDSM? Can I like it and still be a feminist? How to access a safe, self-managed medical abortion. Sex can be an important part of your relationship. So, like, they're up in arms over this. But at the top of these screenshots, it clearly says Scarlet Teen, which is a website that, like, teens can go there to ask questions and they'll answer them honestly. Great fucking site. So, like, I'm, like, trying to figure it out, and they're like, I'm reading the comments to try to understand what they're talking about, and I'm seeing teachers in Knox County being like, it's second step SEL, which is social emotional learning, for anybody who does not know that. It's social emotional learning is teaching kids not to be bullies. It's teaching them acceptance, how to handle their emotions and express their emotions in healthy ways. It's shit that we should see our kids learning, right? So these teachers are like, no, SEL is actually really fucking good. We have this exact same program in Knox County. I love it. Multiple teachers are in this comment section. They're fucking arguing with them and saying, no, it's sex education. And they're like, no, there is no sex education in this curriculum. So one of them posted a link to a podcast. It's like, this will explain how they're adding sex education into SEL. So I listened to this 30-minute fucking podcast, and all they say is it's linked to Scarlet Teen. Nobody's saying how it's fucking linked. I can't. I searched. I've searched for days to try to figure out where this fucking link is between the second step SEL curriculum and the Scarlet Teen website, and I cannot find anything. And these people in these comment sections in this group are just fucking accepting it. They're like, yeah, it's definitely sex education.
Yeah, I think they love to live angrily, and whatever they can do, whatever will just make them clutch their pearls, they're going to. They don't care to fact check. This is not the party of fact checking, because these are mostly alt-right or right-leaning people in this group, I'm assuming, because I would assume because they were, this was early back in,
it was in, after the mask mandate went in place, so September?
Okay, it was right. It was during the fall, fall session. And so why is that group even active if all the mandates are fucking gone now? Like, why is,
because
this group,
the furries.
Oh, right.
The furries are keeping them active.
And that's
they're planning on redirecting the group, because people are like, the furry shit, they're keep going on. And someone's in the comments being like, I joined this group because of the fucking mask mandates. Like, why are we talking about furries every single day? Do you know anything about furries? Like, this is ridiculous.
The reason we bring this up is not because just one random person or two people have these wild-ass conspiracy theories is that once it gets shared, it just shows, we talk about it a lot, how either bad information, misinformation, flagrantly, like, the troll posts become, like, they get 4chan'd into believing things. You know, like, 4chan created, you know, troll campaigns to and push those out. They get 4chan'd essentially into believing these wild-ass conspiracy theories or thinking these things are actually going on. And then we have actual Knox County teachers be like, we actually teach these things and no, it's not in there. And they're fighting against that. No, they haven't provided a single example showing that their student has this in their possession.
Right. Well, and the whole thing with the curriculum being digital and parents not having access, that's actually fairly normal, I think, because they sell the curriculum. They don't want to give parents free access for them to, like, go homeschool their kids and get the free curriculum. You know, like, that's actually even, like, homeschool curriculum. They don't give that shit out for free. You have to buy a license to it. If you buy the license, you can look through it. They didn't, like, when we had textbooks. Kids don't fucking have textbooks anymore.
Yeah, do they not? See, I will say I am wildly ignorant on schools nowadays. I am wildly ignorant on any of these things. I don't have a kid in schools. I don't know anything about
schools.
I
can't say that with certainty. Some schools may still... I know my kid does not have a textbook. Their stuff's mostly online. When I was in college, all my shit was online. Like, I looked at it. But I guess, like, the younger kids, I guess they probably... Some classes still have actual textbooks. But still, like, did you read your fucking kid's science book when he brought it home? Did you sit through there and read that entire fucking textbook? You act like you have right to every bit of the curriculum when you never cared before. Why do you suddenly fucking care right now?
You know what? Speaking of, and this will probably tie in later when we talk about the later story about Florida, is that these parents who are wanting to interject themselves and dictate what the schools and the teachers are teaching their children, they want to be a part of the curriculum process. And someone mentioned, like, you don't go to a doctor and tell them how to do their job. You don't go to a mechanic and tell them how to fix your car.
Right.
You don't go. Why are you trying to tell a teacher or a board of education on how is best to craft an education policy and curriculum for this? Because it's not just your child. This is the public.
Right.
This is a population of kids that they need to get ready for the next level.
To demonstrate how little these parents cared, even at the beginning of the year, what was in their kids' curriculum, there was a post in the group about a woman said her kids came home with a book. I think it's called Spirit Bear.
Spirit Bear?
Spirit Bear. It's about a boy who is like has some behavioral issues or some differences, and he ends up like connecting with this bear that ends up helping him. But there's it talks about like suicide and death at one point. And she's like, yeah, my kids came home and said it was all about death. Why are death and suicide? Why are they pushing this on our kids? Like, there's already high rates. And all the comments, most of the comments in there are like, we read this book. Like, this is actually a really good book. Did you read it? You need to read this book. It's not about just death. Well, the teacher is teaching it as just death and nothing. And then people are like, you know, the teachers will send out a letter at the beginning of the year saying all the books your kids will be reading that year so you can review them. My school didn't. My kids' school didn't. And then people whose kids went to that school in the same grade are just like, we got one. We all get one at the beginning of the year. The what's the shit with the beginning of the semester you get one,
like a syllabus.
Yeah, the syllabi has should be online where you can get it, and she's like, it's not. So like people are getting,
you alone are getting 404 errored on this bitch. Yes. Like, what the fuck?
You're the only one who didn't get a syllabus. You didn't get the letter talking about all the books your kids are reading. Everybody else got this, but not you. You just didn't care. You signed all those papers without reading a single fucking one because you didn't fucking care. And now you want to cry about it. It's like, that's all they're doing.
They read like one chapter or one page that mentioned death and whatever. Right. They think the whole book's about that because they didn't care.
Or maybe the kids just read the chapter on death and suicide and that's what stuck with them at that moment when the mom asked, what's this about? You know?
You know what age this was?
Middle school.
middle school. I mean, you know, because the idea of death comes around fully. They start to understand that around 7 or 8, I think, when they start to agree with that. You know, so I maybe I don't.
I was reading books in school that dealt with death in 7th grade, 6th grade.
Didn't kids die in The Lord of the Flies or something like that?
Well, yeah, I'm not sure I haven't read that, actually. Didn't read that one.
No, that's one we did have to do.
But I mean, I read fucking To Kill a Mockingbird in 6th grade.
No, see, I didn't.
Huh?
No, see, I did not.
I read it actually in 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade because I went to different schools and they all covered it at different
times.
That's
annoying.
Yeah. But even at a fucking Catholic school, we read To Kill a Mockingbird. And that deals with a lot of graphic, serious adult shit. And like, nobody complained about it. Now they are. But this has been like fucking
I think there's been a shift in... God, there's been a dramatic shift in what parents think the schools ought to be doing for their kids. And in the last year, it's really ramped up in the last year, year and a half.
They don't want their kids learning about differences in people. They don't want them learning that racism exists. That's why To Kill a Mockingbird. That's the whole issue with the SEL. They think it's... Somebody out there was like, oh, this is teaching kids empathy. This is teaching kids that they should like learn to accept people who are different from them. And, you know, like, this is bad. So they found a sex ed website, posted a bunch of the screenshots, and sold it to people as this curriculum is sex ed that's going to teach your kids, like, how to perform an abortion.
God, they're so
gullible. And they will. Like, they accept it. They accept it as fucking truth.
Why aren't we just trolling this group if it's so easy to do so?
Because they take things too seriously and it causes problems.
That's true.
So there was another TikTok post about fucking furries of look what my kid came home with from school. And it was a like piece of paper saying it was, acceptance months or something like that. And like,
one of the things mentions furries.
Yeah. Well, on the bottom of the first page, it's like, we'll talk about goth and furry teenage subcultures. And then the other page was create your fursona, a worksheet. And then there was a furry word search. And they're like, my kid came home from school with this. No, they didn't. No school assigned that. Some person just printed that shit off and said, my kid came home from this.
And that's
school.
All they have to do. That's all they have to do is make the claim, show a page, a paper that makes it look like they came home from a school, and they just pick it up and run with it. I'm sure that post had tons of fucking reshares. I'm sure it had tons of fucking posts and comments saying how fucking disgusting that is.
Next, there'll be litter boxes in the bathroom.
Jesus Christ.
Because I guess they finally accepted that there weren't ever any. So now they've moved to next there will be.
The stupidity... Anyway, I don't know if it's actually stupidity. I think it's willful ignorance.
It's willful ignorance. 100% willful ignorance. Because people are, like, their own, people who agree with them on many things, their own group of people are correcting them on this information, and they still refuse to accept it. Instead, they're trying to kick those people out, calling them trolls. Teachers that are actually handling the second step thing, that agree with the mask mandate, who are just as patriotic as they are saying, no, this is actually really good. I teach my kids this in schools. And they're like, no, you're wrong.
No, because once they've clinched them pearls, they don't want to let go. I don't understand why they love to be so angry. Is it because they don't admit it, like admitting when they're wrong?
Yeah.
Is it just they just want to fucking double down? Because I've seen a lot of that where they just double down regardless of what information is presented.
Because if one thing they saw online is false, then everything else is, and they start having to question their whole idea.
It's cognitive dissonance. Like,
I mean,
it's like leaving
a religion. Like they're a fucking cult, and so it's no different than leaving any other fucking cult. That breaking down what you've been told is hard for some people to do. And it's fucking terrifying for some.
I don't know if I could put that any better. They can't let go. It's once that cognitive dissonance hits them, where if they accept that this was wrong, I was easily led to believe this, and that's fake, then what else? That's uncomfortable to them.
And it's not even that big of a deal. Like, man, I've seen stuff that like I've thought was true. Then I've learned that, oh, no, it's not. You know, like it fucking happens. Just admit you're wrong and fucking learn and grow from it. It's not that big of a deal. We're all wrong sometimes. We all fall for shit that may not be true sometimes. Like, because we're fucking human beings. It's gonna happen. Just accept, oh, hey, that's not true.
Especially now when we live in such a world where we can get po'd so fucking easily.
So easily. Like, I mean, there's a lot of fucking posts I look at. I'm like, I really can't fucking tell if this is real or satire.
I can't tell if this is satire or if this is real, because I can see this going either way and believing and this be a believable story because of how the nature of the world, well, not just the world, but at least our population, it's so fucking strange. The furry thing is, they can't, that's their new thing right now. Why is that their new thing? I don't know.
It's something they don't understand. And they, like, one of the fucking comments was like, in 2003, CFI Furry and Loathing or something. Fear, I think that was Fur and Loathing was the name of the episode.
Oh.
They delved into the underground of the furry world. And I'm just like, it's fucking CSI. It's a fictional fucking television show. And you're acting like it's a fucking documentary here. Like,
I can't with these people.
I can't stand them.
So other people I can't stand are the religious hypocrites. I don't know if they're religious hypocrites. I think they just want a Christian nation.
Yeah, they're Christian nationalists, 100%.
What I saw in the news on Monday was that the Supreme Court picked up a case that a lower court had ruled, and what happened was there was a coach. His name was Joseph Kennedy. He was a Washington State high school coach, and basically after the game, he would go to the 50-yard line and pray. And other students would join him, and sometimes
was he praying loudly, like verbally, or
there's mixed reports. So he says he just did it by himself, but there are others where he would say one out loud when they all got down with him. What the problem is this with SCOTUS picking this up? That means that at least four of the justices granted cert, and they want to change the outcome of that lower court's ruling, and. From some of the arguments I've heard, I read about, they're going to rule in favor of the coach. Now, what the problem with this, the reporting on this is very strange because they said that he was fired for this, that he was fired for.
Yeah, he wasn't fired at all. He fucking chose not to renew his contract.
Yeah,
that was his choice. They didn't penalize him. He made the decision not to renew it.
So I'll just read this briefly. Kennedy became an assistant coach of the varsity football team at Bremerton High School in 2008. And later began offering a brief prayer on the field after games ended, and the players and coaches met midfield to shake hands. The school district eventually told him that he should find a private location for praying, but he declined and continued his practice of dropping to one knee and praying silently on the 50-yard line. The school district said his prayer was anything but private. He announced his plans to continue praying and invited journalists and state legislators to watch. The district gave him a poor performance evaluation, and he did not apply to renew his contract after the 2015 football season, and then later sued over this.
It was clearly all a publicity stunt to begin with. Like, he knew, because he fucking invited people to come see him doing this. It's a fucking attention-seeking shit. The whole reason he was praying, like, it's attention-seeking. What's the Bible verse?
The Bible verse is Matthew chapter 6, verse 5 through 15. And I went to WBIR, and I went to a Bible website. I posted this, and where Jesus is very clear, and obviously we're atheist as fuck, I don't care, but in the book that they claim to follow, Jesus is very clear, where it says, do not be like the hypocrites who like to be seen when they pray. Instead, go into a closet to be seen by the Father and to be heard, blah, blah, blah. And I got into an argument with someone who, they're like, first, it's out of context. Always out of context.
Always out of context.
I actually got another argument I'd never heard before, or I forgot about, that there's an argument that there's only one Bible, apparently, that they choose to follow. And
King
if it's not
James.
The King James Bible, it's not a real Bible.
Oh, yeah, I definitely knew that was the...
I forgot about that. I forgot that was a thing, because you see so much shit. So I was like, fine, I'll go to King James. I'll
Which
post the same fucking thing.
Same thing.
It just says it differently, like thee and thine. Fucking weird. But it's very clear in what it says. And they argued that, you know, this person was arguing with me, because they're in such this cult mentality that they don't want to believe. You know, they don't want to follow the world words of Jesus. They just want to... They want Christian nationalism publicly. They want to be able to publicly, you know, convert and indoctrinate children.
They just want to put their religion on everybody else. No. They want everybody to be just like them and live the way they live. And, like, it's fucking...
The argument she was... I don't know why I even argued with these people. I don't know why. But I was enjoying my day, so it was fine. And she was like, that was only for the hypocrites. You know, if you just do it to pray, God knows you're not doing it to
the hypocrite. No, it says don't do it like the hypocrites.
But I'll say it again. He invited journalists and a state legislator to watch. That means you did it to be seen,
Yes.
So they don't care. They don't care. But what bothers me the most is that with the Supreme Court picking this up, Elena Kagan made a good argument. That it puts undue pressure on students to participate when they may not wish to. You know, they feel like they have to join religious observations they don't wish to join. That makes sense. I mean, you have students who are playing in high school football. They're trying to, you know, be seen to game time. Some of these people have college aspirations to play on college teams. Game time is very important, very critical. And if one of the staff members who decide what positions and when you play and how long you play, if you slight them, they can make choices that you don't get that game time.
Right.
You know, so it is.
And if you choose not to pray, they can, for some other reason, right, take you off the field. You know, like, shit like that happens. They have every right to be concerned about that happening because it does happen.
Absolutely. You know, there's that pressure. Like, there's this authority figure doing this and other students are joining in. If I don't, I'm going to be seen as an outcast. I'm going to be seen as not part of the team. I'm going to be seen as not a team player.
This is the whole reason the Supreme Court has said before that this can't happen. That is the entire reason why.
Right. Unfortunately, this Supreme Court seems poised, and I'm betting that in June they're going to rule in favor of the coach because that 6-3 majority. I think it's going to be a 5-4 decision with John Roberts joining the three liberals. But I think it's going to be a 5-4 decision, and I think it's going to be devastating. Now, I want to bring up a point, and that the hypocrisy of the right knows no bounds, because we were just talking about they hate indoctrination of children, and this is pure indoctrination. Yeah. When you have a public figure, a senior member, this is the coach of the coaching staff, doing this, and they think that's okay. They think that's okay. They don't see that as indoctrination because they think everyone should be fucking a Christian. They think everyone should be praying at they
Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
That's what it is, 100% Christian nationalism.
But just think about if they do rule, which I'm thinking they will, if they do rule for the coach, what, you know, the implications of that. Teachers would now be able to pray silently in their rooms before or after class.
They can do that already. If you're praying, they literally can do that already. Nothing is stopping teachers from praying silently.
Right. No, but
that's why I asked earlier.
They can kneel now. They can get down in front of the class and face the American flag or whatever and kneel.
Are people praying to the American flag now?
I'm just making an example. I don't fucking know. It's a cult, and so they do cult things.
I think now, like, they can, but they can't do it with kids in their class.
Yeah, after this ruling, that may change. If they rule that in a very public event, this guy is still in the school uniform.
But see, once they start doing it verbally, and they're in a classroom of kids that cannot leave that classroom, that's a completely different situation.
Those kids can leave the field. I'm saying
can leave the field. That's the thing. Kids in a classroom cannot.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
Kids in a classroom have to stay there. So if a teacher starts praying and starts being verbal about it, they have no escape. Kids on a football. And so that may be a distinguishing thing between this case and the X, or one I would hope justices would look at.
But
so we can't guarantee that now.
Yeah, I'm just going to say what the lower court said. This is the lower federal court, which is they petitioned the Supreme Court. They said that because he chose to say his prayers in such a prominent place, he was acting as a public employee, and his conduct was therefore not protected by the First Amendment. I mean, yeah, he chose that specific spot. He chose that on purpose. He wanted
to be
seen.
It's just like right in the middle of the fucking field. That's right. Not doing it in private.
Right. Like, and they even gave him the option. Like, you don't even... Because it is just Christian nationalism on full display, because a real Christian would know that they don't have... They can just think the thoughts of the prayer to themselves.
The Bible even says that. That's my favorite part. Is like, don't go on and on and on. God already knows what you're asking before you start praying. Like, why do these fucking Christians pray for 5 fucking minutes about, like, you go to an event and there's a prayer and they're just like on and on and
I'm not gonna lie, God for
this and pray over us and keep us safe and give blessings to and like fucking that's not what God fucking wants, even if you believe in him.
I wish I knew the Bible as well as I do now back when I was a Jehovah's Witness, because Jesus Christ, the lengthy ass prayers that a Jehovah's Witness person, leader, elder, I think they called him. I forgot. It's been a long time ago. They are fucking lengthy, man. They're like 2,000 word essays. Like it's fucking stupid.
I remember going on a church retreat when I was in high school with my brothers and his girlfriend. And like they'd start praying. It was the first time I heard these like really fucking long ass prayers. And I'm just like, come on. Like, why?
I do want to
bored.
No. But going back, I do want to talk about how I will call this guy a dumbass. This is a stupid argument. So Justice Samuel Alito, he's one of the oldest, I think, on the conservative side of the court. He had this argument. Suppose what Coach Kennedy did was go out on the field after the game and wave the Ukrainian flag. He equated that. He said that should schools treat religious expression by teachers no differently than they do expression of political views, which they already kind of do restrict them on teaching political views, if I'm correct.
Yeah.
You know, some people get away with it. Obviously, we saw that teacher that was having their five-year-old kids chant...
Let's go, Brandon.
Something that kind of let's go, Brandon, or who, you know, who do we want? Gone, Biden. Or something. I don't know. It was
let's go, Brandon.
Anyway, it was something akin to that. So teachers obviously are still doing it, but I think that's a stupid argument to make in terms of imposing one's religious beliefs on as an authority figure,
right,
over showing support of a country being invaded. But in any event, that just means that, you know, they're willing to throw out these bullshit arguments to rule in favor. And the implications of this, I mean, you're going to see sports all teams all over, you know, do this. What concerns me now is that they don't really have a pulse on the nation, and that the largest growing number of denominations are the nuns. The ones who are religiously unaffiliated are the largest growing by far.
Have been for quite a while.
So these kids that are going in high school, they're not religious. They're not religious. They don't have religious affiliation, but they're going to be peer pressured into doing so. That's the same reason you guys did the whole after church, after church Bible release or Bible release time, because those kids who did not go would feel like they were, you know, either A, left out, or be peer pressured, yep, into going. So they weren't the sole kid or two left out.
I think, and that's more of a, like there's the, it's the 4 to 14 window or 5 to 14, something like that window, where they prey upon kids that age because they're most susceptible to it. So like high schoolers, you don't need to be so worried about. Like a high schooler trying to peer pressure people into religion in this day and age, like they're fucking outnumbered, you know, at least like evangelical wise, like there are probably a lot of kids in high school that like, yeah, I believe in God, but I'm not religious, that type. You know, like,
no, they're not going to convert these kids, but they're still going to peer pressure them into doing activities that they do not.
The younger kids, the older kids, I don't think have that capability.
You don't think they'll be peer pressured into doing that because they
want
playing time?
I don't think there's
time?
Enough of them.
I think
to
if they
peer.
Want, I think if they want playing time and they think it's
no,
going to
okay. We were talking about kids, students doing it. A teacher on a field is a different situation.
Right, okay. Yes. Yes.
But like, no, classmates, like preaching to classmates and stuff is like. The high schoolers, it's not going to do much. It didn't do much when I was in high school, honestly. But middle school and elementary school, yeah, you're like, if there's enough kids around you being like, yeah, you should go to church, or yeah, pray with me, it's going to work more.
Yeah, but on the other aspect, for these older kids who are outside of that, who won't be converted but will be forced to appease, to feel like they're a part of the team, to feel like they're...
Yeah, it's going to make them, and it's going to make some of them, like, reject religion. Like, what they're doing, they don't understand that it's pushing more people away from religion. They're trying so fucking hard to shove religion down everybody's throat that people are pulling away. They're hurting themselves.
Yeah. But still, I mean, you don't want to make kids who feel, you know, kids, again, we were talking about kids, mm-hmm, feel pressured to do things that they are uncomfortable doing.
No.
What if they're a Muslim? What if, you know, what if they're of another religion? And they feel pressured into doing this because now coaches all over the nation are going to be praying. You know, baseball coaches, basketball coaches, you know, on the center of the fucking field are going to have their protection. Is.
We're all of a sudden going to start seeing more prayers on the football field.
Yeah, I think the thing is,
have they specified, like, is he praying out loud even when he's praying by himself? Like, is he starting the prayer verbally, or is he just going down there and praying silently even when the kids come in? Because if otherwise, like, if he's praying silently, that's a fucking moment of silence.
It depends on whose attorney you're talking to. So his attorneys are saying he prayed silently. The school district actually said, I'm going to quote, this is Richard Katsky, the lawyer for the school district. He's the one who insisted on giving audible prayers that students could join, and then he created a zoo on the field. So it really depends on now the lawyers for him are claiming that he was silent on the field, that he just did that.
I mean, both may be true. He may have started out doing audibly, and when the school said something to him, he started doing it silently. And that's where the lawyer's saying, no, he did it silently. Well, they both could be correct depending on the timeline. I mean, it's a complicated case,
but depending on how they rule, it could open the floodgates for as long as, you know, even if he doesn't say anything, but if he does it in a display, what he did is a display. He didn't go off to pray silently. He did it as a display. And if they're allowed to do it as a display, that means that they're front and center. It's going to encourage other students to either feel ostracized for not joining in or whatever. It's a clusterfuck. I mean, I would hope that
school districts, knowing how alarming this is, would start instituting like moment of silence after games. Do whatever you like. I don't fucking care if you want to fucking kneel and pray.
When was the last time you went to a high school game? If your team wins, there is no moment of silence. Like, these are rowdy ass events.
Then how the fuck do they get to pray? Like, there has to be a moment of calm for them to pray.
I'm sure the stands are still going, but he just goes and trots himself to the 50-yard line.
I bet not. I bet people in the stands stop and pray.
I don't have video. I don't have video. Again, this is way back in.
I know, like, videos I've seen of coaches praying on the field. The stands, like, there for it and quiet too, and you know.
Again,
usually at the beginning of the game.
Yeah, again, this is going back, and remember, this is the 2015 season. He didn't renew for it. It finally worked its way up to the Supreme Court. Claiming he was fired for it, which is bogus, just because he simply chose not to renew his contract just based on a poor performance review. And we don't know that the poor performance review was solely based on his behavior on the field.
We don't.
So none of that makes sense.
Like, the details of it, like, are the public documents available? Are the court documents available?
Oh yeah, they'll be available. I haven't had time to
read. I haven't had time to really dive into it either, and I'd like to actually read the court documents.
I'd like to read the lower court documents as well before. I'm sure there's tons of amicus briefs that have been filed on behalf of both the coach and of the school district. I'm sure Freedom for Religion Foundation has chimed in. I'm sure ACLU has chimed in. I'm sure every religious, you know, church and organization has chimed in on behalf of the coach, because they do. Their ultimate goal is they want to be able to publicly indoctrinate or, you know, have public prayer. They want to be able to have public prayer in schools, in classrooms. Mm-hmm. That's their ultimate goal. They want to break down the separation of church and state. Yeah, yeah.
They want this to be a Christian nation. That's what they want. That's what their goal is, and that's what they're fighting for.
And this just brings them one step closer. I think once they have this, then they get to the next step. And that's what worries me so much about this. Because SCOTUS picked this up for a reason. Mm-hmm. SCOTUS only picked this up because they want to rule differently than the lower court. And they're going to seem poised to. And that's just one step down. Then there's the next step. Then there's the next step. Now we're full blown onto fucking Gilead.
But the lower, they don't always rule in favor with lower courts or against lower courts. Sometimes they rule in favor.
There would be no point in picking the case up. They would just let the lower courts do.
They do. They pick up cases and then rule like to stick with that lower court. Like, not every time they pick up a case do they reverse the ruling. Sometimes they stick with that ruling.
I'm just saying.
So it's not guaranteed.
It's not guaranteed. But from what I read on the oral arguments, they kind of seem poised to. Even Kavanaugh made a mention of, like, I can see where it would cause them not to have play time, but then, you know, he reversed course. So I I'm sticking to it. I'm thinking.
I know. I'm trying not to get up in arms about it yet, because I know when we read news, whether the left or the right, they're trying to make us upset. There, you know, some things in there are worded in ways to kind of stress us out. That's what fucking sells. And sometimes, like, I get paranoid of this is going to fucking happen, and then it comes out that it doesn't. So, like, I'd rather save my rage for when it comes. And I've said that on the show before and come back and had my rage.
I hate to be the negative one here. I just, based on what I've read during oral arguments, I may be wrong. I would love to record in June a very I was wrong episode, and they fucking now we have precedent, even stronger precedent, that they can't do this. I would love to be able to say that. I would absolutely love to be able to say that.
I mean, there's a lot of unknowns on our end on this case, and it may be something that only allows for a very fucking narrow ruling that it's okay, you can pray silently at this, you know, this time, but not verbally. And if that's the case, like, it's not perfect, but it's not a complete deterioration of the.
Yes. So we have two really, I find this one a pretty important case to watch in June. The other one is the Mississippi abortion ban case, the 15th. So those are the two largest cases, I think, now. Of course, I'm surprised this just came up, and they're still working on into this docket to be released in June. So they're going to have a decision pretty quick. They probably already made up their minds, and they're just writing up their opinions now.
And they don't fucking understand that a lot of Christians are against church and state, or for the separation of church and state. A lot of Christians understand why that's there. There are a lot of Christians that aren't bothered by the fact that other people have different religions or no religion.
God, I wish that was the case here in Tennessee, man. These evangelicals don't give a fuck.
They're a minority, but they're a loud as fuck minority.
Yeah.
They are a minority. Like, it's just, they are. They don't make up the bulk of the Christians. They're just the loudest and the most organized. And it's a problem, 100%. But they are not the fucking majority in this country.
I mean, they may not. I would, again, like I said, love to read it in June. You know, Supreme Court rules against. You know,
that's what I'm hoping for, or that it's so incredibly
incredibly narrow that, you know, only applies that they can't be applied as precedent.
Yeah.
Or even if they just do a shadow docket, you know, a shadow docket ruling where this it can't be used again as precedent.
Right.
So, I mean, they could easily do that as well. We'll see. But next in religion, a good story. Florida man. Florida man is coming to save
us. This is a good Florida man.
This is a good Florida man. So this comes on the heels of, I actually saw this story. A lot of people have shared this story out. A lot of prominent atheists, thinking atheists, cognitive dissonance. Like, this is a good story to share because they're using their own tactics against him. What we didn't cover last week because we didn't have enough time, or we just didn't cover it, was the Florida.
I want to preface, like, if Knoxville starts banning books like this, I will be doing this 100%. Absolutely.
They are discussing a bill right now. In fact, one of the members, while we were discussing it, said, I would burn them. I would burn the books. So they're actively discussing a bill right now. I read an article today, but because it's just being discussed and it's not being passed. It's again, one of those, I'm not going to get myself up in two arms until it's passed certain committees. Yeah. And then once it's on my radar, then it'll get on my radar. But
does
they it are
name certain
it.
Books?
Again, it's still a committee. I'm not bringing it up because I don't know too much about it, except that it only made news because one of the House members or Congress members said that he would just outright burn them because that's how they solve problems now. They just love.
He goes to pay or to Global Vision.
Global Vision. He probably was there.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is a reference to Florida. And so this comes on the heels. We didn't get to mention it in any of our previous episodes, if I recall correctly. If we did, whatever. But what was it, 41% of math books that they banned, that Florida removed from their curriculum because they said they claimed to have references of CRT in them, critical race theory, which is, they just love to ride that fucking CRT horse, despite it's like, it's not a thing, man. They're not teaching this. And when in the article, there was like no...
They didn't give any examples.
They didn't give any examples. But they finally released, of all those books, three...
Headline said four, but I only saw three.
I only saw three as well. And this was a Fox News article. It was like, haha, got our receipts here. I'm like, you have 41% of books. It's like a large number of books, and you have four small captions. And they're not even, I don't think it's statistics. I don't know if it's critical race theory.
Two of them didn't even make any sense. Like, I had no clue what the issue was or what, like.
And one of them was just was a statistic. It wasn't like, I don't think it was critical race theory.
Something about
racial, you know, the racial bias, or you know,
racial bias based on
age. Based on age,
was it age and religious view? Because it pointed as conservatives
it was age and then political. And guess which ones?
The older conservatives.
Racist as fuck.
I was going to say biased, but they're racist.
They're racist as fuck. So this guy named Chad Stevens, he's in Florida. He's filed a petition to local government agencies to ban the Bible, which, using their own arguments against them, that it's not age appropriate. It includes things like sex, adultery, sexual immortality, murder, fornication. Do we really want to teach our youth about drunken orgies?
They didn't bring up incest, though, because that drunken orgy was incestuous. was it Moses and his daughters, I believe? I'm pretty sure it was Moses and his daughters. The daughters got him drunk and then when he passed out, they pretty much raped their daddy because they wanted the seed to carry on life.
It was the next morning that Al realized it was Lot and not Moses. Anyway. Yeah, so he's filed this petition. It's getting a lot of popularity. I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard or seen this before. I think it's fucking hilarious.
Great.
Because they're going to have to see this, and now they're going to have to publicly...
I was waiting for somebody to do it. Yeah. I knew someone somewhere had to bring up the Bible, because that's the best fucking course of action you can go with this.
Because now you have to get them to say out loud that they don't really want to ban those things for those reasons, or... find some other. I want to know what their half-ass attempt to not agree and ban the Bible, because there was a guy.
They'll
on
probably
TikTok.
Just not discuss it.
Do I? I'm sorry.
They'll probably just not discuss it and say no. That, I mean, that's what happened when people filed a ethics complaint against our school board members. 5 out of 9 just decided we're not going to discuss this ethics complaint and just moved on.
What's the alternative? They don't have an alternative either. They have to publicly address and say that, well, we're not going to ban the Bible because, despite it going against every other thing that we have banned, because it has deeply religious ties or whatever the fuck, so they have to mention that there are exceptions to that, and that once you mention there are exceptions, then the whole program falls apart, or they actually do ban the Bible, which I don't ever see Florida fucking doing.
They're not going to do it. They're going to decide on it, but they're just going to decide with a quick vote, not discussing it.
You're probably going to say, come on, no one actually reads the Bible. I mean, that's...
They're not going to say that.
No. It's true, though.
They don't know what's fucking in there. No, I look forward to the day that get to speak in front of our school board and read the very first passages.
Are you
going to
do the one where she's like, there she lusted
absolutely.
After the genitals, the size of horses and emissions of donkeys, whatever?
Absolutely. That's going in there. There's so many great ones in the Bible that like are not
there's
appropriate.
There's murder all over the place. There's
rape, incest.
Mass killings. You got the bear that mauled 42 boys just for calling someone Baldy.
Yep.
There's so many examples. Like, this is not a good book for
dashing
children.
Babies' heads against rocks.
Yeah, Psalms. Yeah, like. that's a good example from Psalms. That's one of my favorite ones. Happy is he who dashes that baby's head against the rocks.
Yep.
And I love posting that randomly. Like, people are like, what's your favorite Bible verse? Post on Facebook. I will post that one 100% of the fucking time, because it's fucking hilarious. Because it's Psalms, and how Psalms work. It's like, there's no... There is no... It's all out of context. There's songs, right? So they're like, they read that and like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. I'm like, you're welcome.
Yeah.
But there's some horrendous shit in the Bible. You got the story of Lot. Like here, like, no, don't mess with them. But here, fuck my daughters instead.
Right, right. Like,
so, I mean, he's not wrong in terms of like, if you want to ban books based on the content that references sexuality, rape, incest, murder, like there's tons of fucking examples in this one fucking bound book or yep. collection of books. I'm sorry, you fucking religious people. It's a collection of books, but whatever. Fucking. Yeah. I can't wait to see the response. I hope they respond. I really hope they respond, but I don't think he's received a response yet. He's drawing attention to the hypocrisy, though. That's a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Florida's just going to do what Florida's going to do. I don't think they're going to do. They're not going to change it. And they're going.
I just wonder how it's going to be addressed. That's it. Like it'll be interesting to see. Yeah, our school board hasn't gone to like banning
it's coming
books yet.
Remember, whatever Florida and Texas does, Tennessee is quick to follow
but
suit.
But these
a lot
are
of
school board things. These like well, his isn't, but like well. I guess Tennessee, you said they may be doing a bill. Is it involving schools?
I think it's right now it's school libraries. It's specifically targeting school libraries, not so much what's in the curriculum, but it's...
I mean, I can get the if a petition needs signatures, I can get the fucking signatures.
Yeah.
I have no doubt about that. I can get the signatures. I'll file the petition, it'd be like... A lot of schools, it's happening at the school board level, or a lot of places, it's happening at the school board level, where enough parents just write and show up and bitch and complain until the school board does something. If that happens here in Knox County, they already know me so well on the school board. They'll see me again reading the worst possible, and I get 3 minutes. Like, this is the book that
you
guys
love. You can
get
through so much in 3 minutes.
I know. I can read so many inappropriate things that they, like... If it was in any other context, they'd be like, you can't do that. Are they really going to stop me from reading from the Bible, though?
You know what's really funny? Because they don't know the Bible, or they do, or they just disregard, is when I was arguing with the woman on on the WBIR article regarding the church, the publicly and outright unabashedly praying to be seen, even though she claims it wasn't, she was going back and forth with me, and I was so close to whipping out the "you have no authority over a man, you are to remain silent" verse.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to be a dick, but I kind of wanted to. I was on the verge, like just to post that, just to get the "well, that's out of context" or whatever, because there's so much shit in there. Like if you actually read this fucking thing, it's fucking horrendous.
Right.
So I know we've gone on religious rants before, but they don't read it. And, you know, for you to go up there and have your 3 minutes of just, here's what's actually in your book that you don't even know is in there. I guarantee you that they would not have heard any of the things you would have said, because their preachers, they won't ever bring those up. And that's the only instance. That's the only time they hear what's in the Bible is what is presented to them.
Right.
There are some that they'll read and they'll highlight, but those are things that their preacher has gone over with them. These people don't just from A to Z read the Bible. So you're going to read shit they didn't even know was fucking in there.
I may go ahead and start working on my collection of verses that I'll read. Because it's going to happen. I think
no,
it's going to
also make
happen.
A shirt. You got to make a shirt so when you're pictured, it has the verses on there.
No, I can't do that. They're not going to be able to read it in the picture. What I'd probably do is go in my satanic minister outfit.
Okay.
The red
the outfit,
shirt.
Just the shirt.
I have even have the collar. The priest collar that I dyed black to go with my red button-up shirt.
But get on this guy. I'm sure it's going to go nowhere. But at least the people who have to address the petition will know that they're being blatant hypocrites.
Yeah.
And not acknowledging.
No, they won't see it that way. They won't see themselves as hypocrites. They never do. You can point it out. You can make it very clear to them, and they still are like, they'll make some fucking excuses. They will never admit or accept that they're hypocrites.
And speaking of people who don't read the Bible, the next story is coming from Texas. It's a ProPublica article, and you sent this at 11 o'clock last night, which is, I'm like, that's damn fucking brave of you to think I'm going to read a ProPublica article at 11 o'clock. Because
it wasn't
ProPublica,
that bad.
It wasn't that bad. It was. It's still a lengthy article, but it's not ProPublica lengthy article.
It was
article.
30 minutes instead of an hour and a half.
Yeah, you're
it, okay.
Because ProPublica, like, I love the reporting. They're in depth as fuck. But you've got to commit a fucking. You got to commit some time for that. Like punch
God,
in.
I love them so much.
They're
though.
So good.
It's like
they're so good. But reason why I brought that up because they don't read the Bible. There are literally verses in there about accepting immigrants, about treating them right, how to treat you know mm-hmm. your neighbors and those from outside lands. And every time there's articles about immigrants and things like that, and they're like, these fucking illegals, I just start posting, because you know these are all evangelicals, these are right-leaning, mm-hmm. these are right-leaning Christians. I post these things. I throw the Bible at them all the fucking time, out of context, still all the time. But in this ProPublica article...
Have you ever asked them to explain the context?
Sometimes I'm like... What context is this ever
explain
good?
Explain it, yeah.
I'm like, in what context?
Can you please explain
In what context
this?
Would this ever be?
You have to ask. You have to act dumb and ask really nicely. I'm like, I don't understand. Could you explain this
no,
to
I did.
Me, please?
I did. So the one about the King James, she's like, well, I said, I tried to do the street epistemology thing, because like, I tried to play the nice card, because normally I'm just over it. I'm like, well, I really don't understand the King James Version as well as you. Could you explain to me, and you know, where later he says you can go ahead and pray publicly and be... And that's okay. Can you? Because I couldn't find it, you know. And then she went into this random fucking other topic.
That's the best part, though, is they get really pissed off at you. Like, you're being really nice in how you deal with them, and then they start calling you an idiot and things like that because they just don't know the answer. And then I point out, I'm like, look, I'm sorry you don't know the answer or don't know how to verbalize your thoughts here, but like sinking to the point of personal or ad hominem attacks it's just not a very adult way of handling this, which only pisses them off more.
So ProPublica, this is Operation Lone Star. Operation Lone Star was this Greg Abbott initiative, because you know, to combat this massive surge of fucking immigrants coming through Texas, right? And they've claimed several things that they're like, we make this claim, this is true, this is how great this program's working. And ProPublica's like, except that's not true. Like, you didn't seize this many pounds of fentanyl on the border. Only a small fraction came from the border. The rest came from the rest of the fucking state.
Right.
So they combated a lot of their claims about how well this program's working. And it is, to some extent, like some fraction of the numbers are coming from the areas, the counties in which they've allocated the funds to for this like anti-immigration, like this immigration blocking, because this, you know, this war up, because you know, Biden's done nothing for this huge surge of immigrants coming through, but only a fraction were coming from those states or from those counties. But what got me the most was how much they fucking spent and how much it increased. The budget increased from, God, it was so few, up to $2 to $3 billion annually to do this. One of them is it's $2.5 million a week for border security, and an additional $2 billion a year for the National Guard deployment. They actually had a total budget of $16 billion annually for this program. And I want to think about how much money that is. How much money $16 billion is for border security. You know what they could do for $16 billion for those people who are fleeing the conditions that they are fleeing in search of a better life to come
get
to this country?
Get them all homes. Help them get their visas so that they can work and be a part of our society.
And contributing taxes.
Exactly. Like, there's...
Yeah, it grew. So I have the stats here, right? So it grew from $110 million to nearly $3 billion in the 2022 to 2023 cycle. So just 1 year, just that's just for the border security. But the total budget for that, including the National Guard, was, I think, $16 billion. That's a lot of fucking money. Even if it's just $3 billion, let's leave it at that. Let's say it's just the $3 billion plus the $2.5 million per week. That is so much assistance they could be providing to people who are, first off, borders are a dumb idea. I mean, I think, you know, I understand the idea of, you know, a sovereign nation and shit like that. But what did Americans do to deserve the luxuries they have, except from being born on this side of that imaginary line that we drew? Absolutely nothing. And yet they absolutely hate and abhor these immigrants coming in. And for what? They can't come here and get federal. They can't come here and get welfare. They can't.
They can't. If they have kids here, their kids can get like food stamps and health insurance. And they use that as, well, that's what they're doing. They're coming here and having babies and then getting on government assistance. But like, for example, here in Tennessee, the most food stamps you can get are like $245 per person. What do you fuck do you think people are doing with that money? Like, do you really think that's high living? $245 a month from food stamps? Even if you have multiple kids. I have a fucking kid. I need more than $240 a month to feed that kid.
Can I ask you, when you when you you had food stamps at one point, correct?
Yes.
Did you? Did they still charge a sales tax on the IMG purchase? They did not. Okay, no. I didn't think they would. I was just curious if that was a thing.
No, it doesn't. But like, it's not. When I was on it, I think I got it for me and the kid, but it still wasn't enough money because they don't give the adults the full amount, unless like people on disability in certain situations, those adults do. But like, if I'm working, have a kid, like you're not going to get the full amount. That's not enough when you have, like, when you're buying baby food, and I even made my baby food to make it cheaper, and I still fucking didn't, like, I still had to spend my own money to make sure we had food. Like, it's not enough to live on. People aren't paying their fucking rent on food stamps.
I just did the math real quick. $3 billion annually, that's not including the entire budget that they've allocated towards this border security. $200, is it $200 a month? That they gave you?
$245.
I just did $200. $200 for $3 billion divided by 12 for months for each year. 1.25 million families that they could be providing assistance to temporarily or until they can become and get the status they need, the citizenship status, start working and contributing the taxes. 1.25 million a year.
But let's be real. They said that they were only going to be focusing on immigrants with this money, and they're not.
They're not. No, a lot of the arrests that they made, they're not they're all over the counties. They're not just the immigrants. The money that's being spent on this, according to the and it's actually not just ProPublica. There was a few other media organizations that were investigating this. All this, it's not that it's mismanaged, but all these victories that they're claiming mm-hmm. are not actually, you know, them securing the border like they claim. Like, right. I always link the articles in our show notes. ProPublica is definitely always one you guys should always check out. Dive into this one. But it just shows the hypocrisy. Again, that's why I want to bring it up after this other religious one, because it says in their fucking book, how to treat people, and they don't care. They hate them. They hate them for being here. They think you know how many people want to come to this country, and it's a lot. There are a lot of people. It's by the hundreds of thousands per X amount.
And this is why they don't want the social emotional learning, because it teaches empathy. It teaches acceptance. They don't want their kids knowing that. They want to be able to continue to shit on immigrants, refugees, black people, anybody. They want that bigotry to continue.
They always want to continue to paint them that they're just bringing drugs here. They're just bringing crime here. They're coming up here to commit crime. That's all. I'm like, no.
My favorite is they're taking all our jobs.
Okay.
In which my argument is, so you're blaming like immigrants for coming in here and working for like shit pay, living in poverty. They're not in luxury. They're not living in the finest house, working in fucking fields for fucking $2-3 an hour.
The soybean market is huge. The soybean, they were huge in the soybean market.
Huh?
The soybeans. They were huge in the soybeans. And when there was like a crackdown, like they couldn't find.
That's mostly in California and a lot of places. If you go to any produce field, like a farm, it's going to be primarily immigrants working in it.
Meatpacking plants. And
meatpacking. And all of these people are getting paid less than minimum wage.
Because they can.
And instead of blaming the fucking corporations that are exploiting people and using that cheap labor because they can get away with it, like, you're blaming the people who are fucking living with next to nothing.
Yeah.
Blame the fucking corporations that are paying them or offering them jobs less. Like, if they got paid the same, would that make you feel better? If it was a level market and everybody could get those jobs. But the reason that they're bitching is because they don't want to work for $5 an hour. And immigrants have no choice but to work for $5 an hour. They're taking our jobs. You don't want to fucking do that job because you don't think those corporations are paying enough. Bitch about the corporations that won't fucking pay.
Yeah, but then there's the other side that enrages me is that, and I said it earlier and I'll say it fucking again because it is the truth. No one in this room, I will say there's some who have served in the military. Fine. You have done something for this country to earn the things you have. For the majority of the population in America, you came out of a vagina on this country, and that's the only reason you have the rights and the benefits that you have. You did fucking nothing. Some of these people have trekked on foot with their families, carrying everything they fucking own in search of a land where they won't be riddled with gang violence and mismanaged funds.
Fucking news for them.
Fucking hurt. Yeah, right.
They're going to be real fucking disappointed once they get settled.
Sorry,
in here.
Sorry, bro. America sucks too. But these people are making an effort to do something to better enrich their lives. They're not coming to now. There are drug trafficking that goes across there
in every fucking demographic. Yeah, like, I mean, that's the thing. Like, the drugs, fucking rich white people are dealing drugs too. Like, if you're gonna fucking blame drugs, blame everybody with drugs, and that's not like there's white people aren't doing more drugs or selling more drugs than white people. It's not. They're like, that's been studied. They're, in fact, white people do drugs more than black people.
Yeah, it's just except that, unfortunately, due to mandatory minimums, that's racist as fuck, the certain drugs have harsher penalties than other drugs, so they know which, demographically speaking, or statistically speaking, which demographic uses which drug versus others. But that's not the point. The point is they did nothing to earn... You were born here, now you have a Social Security number, now you're a citizen.
I wasn't even born here, and I still got all those rights.
Right. I mean, Ted Cruz. I'm sure he's a Texas senator. I'm sure he's railing against fucking immigrants. He wasn't born here. So again, these people have no right to claim that they get to enjoy these freedoms and their rights. And these people who are coming in, who are coming to the country to evade the life that is dangerous for them and their children, or just to come
these
here
people,
to live.
Like, they risk their fucking lives.
Absolutely,
remember
they do.
Remember the pictures of a man coming in a raft with a small child and just, like...
People have died on rafts just trying to come here?
Like, I can't... As a parent, I cannot imagine... what it would take for me to fucking trek across a country on foot with my child to seek a better life.
Right. How dire of a life do you think, or situation were they in to make that choice to say, I would risk this rather than stay where I'm at in hopes of, and knowing that they could be denied entry, knowing they could be blocked. They know these things. Mm-hmm. And yet they still do that. I don't fucking know why not provide the assistance, get them ready, get them on the path to citizenship, instead of we're spending billions to keep them out. The math just doesn't work for me. I don't understand. I don't know how many total crossings there are, but I think the money, if we use the money in humanitarian aid instead, would be far better. But again,
and that's across
empathy,
the board with policing.
Again, no empathy there. No empathy from the right. They fucking hate immigrants.
Yep.
All right, Al, well, this is an article that you actually shared. It came out very recently. You shared it yesterday, an article that on Washington Post. It's on a few places right now. This is an explosive report out of Minneapolis that they started an investigation shortly after the killing, the murder of George Floyd. And it turns out, would you be surprised, Al, that there's some racial profiling and fucking unjust use of force by the police department?
You're kidding.
I kid you not. You read it here first.
I would never expect that from police.
You read it here first. They actually, I will say this, they put some work in onto this investigation. They went through hundreds of thousands, like over 100,000 documents of filings, police reports. They
Live,
went through thousands
body
of
cameras.
Hours. Thousands of hours of body cameras. And here's what they found. And this is going to briefly go through them. Minneapolis police officers searched black people or their vehicles almost twice as often as they did white people. So I'm going to go through the racial disparity first, then I'm going to go through the excessive use of force. The next one is, when police made stops in the city's first precinct, which includes downtown Minneapolis, they were 6 times more likely to use some force when the vehicle had black people inside rather than white people stopped under similar circumstances. Police in Minneapolis used higher rates of more severe force against black individuals, the report said, with black people making up about 19% of the city's population, but 63%. Of the use of force recorded by police. I'm going to say it again. 19% of the population, but accounted for 63%. That is a huge disparity. And the other one is, we're going to include all of them. So this is all the people of color. This is indigenous and people of color. So now a total of 42% of the population, 93% of every officer involved death between January 2020 and February 2022. Those are disgusting numbers. 93%. 93% of all officer involved death. That's fucking disgusting. That's
so that's more than twice as likely to die.
Yeah, really. They're more than twice. So that it all they're twice more than twice likely to be pulled over. There's six more times used of force, and God, over two more times likely to be killed. It's a huge percent, 93% of all. That's a huge number. That's a huge number. And of course, I mean, that's it didn't surprise me coming from Minneapolis. They've had several incidents, of course, George Floyd being included, which kind of sparked this whole thing. But not surprising. What doesn't surprise me is that this is happening. What surprised me is that they actually let them say it out loud. I had a conversation with my parents. They came in from Indiana. And we were out at a bar, and we were just randomly talking. And they suddenly got on this Black Lives Matter movement and how awful it was and blah, blah, blah. Well, keep in mind, they claim to be Democrats. They claim to be liberals. I think they just hate Trump because they're total right-leaning people.
Mm-hmm.
He was a former, I guess, corrections officer. He worked at a prison security. I'm not sure. I love the man to death, but he bought into some racist tropes. He buys into that 80%, 90% of all prisoners are black, and you know all this crime is actually black on black. And I'm like, I had to fight back against that. Like, no, really, 34% of the prison population is black. But that's because of the disparity of how they are treated. Right. By the police in the United States. These people don't understand. I'm glad this report went out. It's going to go unnoticed by, except for anyone on our side, on the left side.
Mm-hmm.
The people on the right are just going to, they're not even going to read this article. They're not going to care. They're going to say, well, they were committing crimes. They should have complied. You know, yeah. This is the same argument we see all the time.
Like the quote, the report found little faith in oversight and accountability for police, even among the department's members. Like the police, like the police themselves don't feel comfortable coming up or coming forward about like racism in the department or like sexual harassment claims because they don't think anything's going to be done. So they just like fucking let it go.
Yeah, actually, and one of the officers didn't even know what like the racial, what racial profiling even
was.
Yeah,
that fucking part where he's like, he said he didn't think or he didn't. Think that he was racially biased or something like that, and then went on to describe a situation where he would involve like racial bias in searching a somebody or something like that. You know,
yeah.
Like,
the quote here says, "This officer did not appear to understand that searching for someone based solely on racial profiling or sorry, racial stereotypes was in fact racial profiling. Like they're just not being trained. So it's not only that they're not being trained, or." They're being trained on purpose this way.
I think they're just not getting training. I think that's the issue in a lot of these. Well, it even mentioned in here the training that they are getting. They're getting the training. But the thing is the training they're getting is performed by this guy from Lakeport, California. It's Lieutenant Colonel Dave Grossman. And the training is killology. He teaches them that regular citizens on the street are out to kill them. They treat them like, you know, that's why these situations escalate to the point. It's because police view you as an enemy. Police view you as like you're just out to get them. All of us are just out to get them. And it's especially for black people or any person of color that belief is going to be higher. And the ProPublica article talked about like the training they kill of or they the training they get where citizens are the enemy. And it's this fucking he's like the most popular trainer or was. He's been exposed. Somebody leaked part of his training that was pretty much, are you ready to kill somebody? Are you prepared to kill someone? He asked me. And the small group of armed citizens who paid $90 or more to see him. If you can't answer that question, you should not be carrying a gun. He's like a fucking horrible person, but he's been doing a lot of the training. And one of the trainings, he says, we fight violence. What do we fight it with? Superior violence, righteous violence. It's like a preacher. He doesn't bother with notes. Like he has all this memorized.
So I found within the article, you're exactly right. The report described a department that has, for years, treated that community with unchecked aggression. The problems began during training, the report said, with recruits taught to act aggressively toward community members and view them as the enemy. That in turn leads officers to escalating situations and often using inappropriate levels of force. And again, we were talking about the disparity, but they were using inappropriate levels of force
across all the races, board, right?
White, but the use of chokeholds was, again, a little disparity there. So the investigation also described an effort to compare uses of force against black and white people under similar circumstances, and again found wide disparities. Officers used higher rates of neck restraints or chokeholds on black people when compared with white people in similar cases. So not only are they using excessive force across the board, but then when faced with a person of color, indigenous, now it's even increased by 2 to 6 more times.
Until you get George Floyd situations.
Until you get George Floyd situations. And how many of those do we not know about?
Right, because they classified George Floyd's death as the excited delirium, I think, like as a contributing thing. As soon as they have the excited delirium in there, then they pass it off as drug use. Drugs cause this. That excited delirium is what gets cops off. And the coroners know that, like, I believe there's instances where cops have told the coroners, we need this in here.
Did you see where they actually also, one of the officers or the someone from the police department had a plant in the NAACP?
Oh, yes. Saw that. And then they went to, they used these sock accounts that they were using to monitor black activists and, like, set the... And NAACP is like some threats or something too.
Yeah, they actually have a social media campaign and how they go after people as well. This is
Knoxville does the same shit as far as that. Oh yeah, they definitely have socks. They monitor activists in this area. It's a norm for policing. It shouldn't be. Like, we need to do something
about
it.
I'd be curious to have the same investigative report done, not only, well, fucking every city needs to have this kind of oversight or this kind of investigation. What comes of this? You know, they have to be seriously trained, seriously retrained by qualified individuals that won't, because I wanted to fight against you. You said that it's just one person. It's not just one person. There was where they train to kind of racially stereotype. There was an interview, I listened to a podcast from a guy who went through, he was a police officer, and they trained them. They were like, if you look for this, you will get this kind of interaction. You will find these drugs. If you target this area or these people, you look out for these things and racial stereotype, because they want that bus. They want that. It's part of their job. They have to have so many, you know.
Grossman was the top trainer for the police departments around the country for a while. Like, other people training probably got
they're
a lot from
him.
Him.
Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Like, he, it's his fucking training. And he, like, before he got exposed, he was traveling around to different departments doing the training.
Well, I'll tell you who else needs fucking training. So, yeah, obviously, Minneapolis, not just Minneapolis, but at least now they have the statistics to show how bad it is. Whether they do anything about it or continue to be absolute bastards, that remains to be seen.
The mayor claims to be absolutely disgusted. And if that's actually true, maybe they'll do something about it. Unlike our fucking mayor here, who's bootlicking and fucking... Although, like, we are getting a new police chief.
Yeah, so Eve Thomas is fucking out of the picture. Or gonna be? Or she's officially retired. Yes, right?
Yeah, I don't know if she's officially, but she's about to. Yeah, because the day she retired, they made it Eve Thomas Day.
Eve Thomas Day.
Fucking fuck that.
So they named a new police chief. We'll see what happens with that. I don't know a whole lot about him. I know
it's
there's
like Paul Knoll, I believe is his name.
From New Orleans?
Yeah, he's from New Orleans. At first, when I read that, I was like, oh, fuck. Because New Orleans has a horrible police department, is known for their corruption. But apparently they have been making a lot of changes recently. And this guy has been a strong, like, advocate for police reform and has gone through a bunch of training on police reform. He may be better than Eve Thomas.
That's a low bar. I'm not that excited about it.
It's a very low bar. So, I mean,
but maybe they'll be changed. So what happened in April of last year that just came out on video? Or that
yeah.
What? So
this one has me really pissed off. So
it's a local story. It was a school resource officer. They're still KPD, right?
KPD or it's a Knox County Sheriff.
Okay.
Depends on where the school's located. It was a Knox County middle school kids, like an eighth grader. He's walking down the hallway. A teacher says they smell pot. Did you find the name of it?
Yeah, it's Northwest Middle School.
Okay, so no, it's North Mess West Middle School. I didn't think it was named in there.
It was only because it's you got to look for it. It just says Lee told Northwest Middle School principal Joan Boast. It's a single line within the article. They kind of buried it.
So, but kids walking down the hall, teacher's like, "I smell pot in that book bag," and points to this kid. The officer grabs the book bag. And, you know, my first reaction if somebody grabs my book bag is to pull away, right?
Yeah.
So kid does this. Cop starts fighting him. He's like, "Just give me the book bag," and gets the kid down on the ground, handcuffs him, takes him into this room. A teacher is there watching this whole thing happen where, like, this Tennessee Lookout or the Knoxville Tennessee Lookout, I believe, did the article.
Yeah.
So they did the open records request and got the body cam that shows while in this room in the office, the officer putting his entire body weight onto this kid. And then
Did you memorize this fucking article? That was almost verbatim after that. Yeah.
No, he puts his body weight onto the kid, picks him up under the arms and just drops this kid on the table. He busts his chin open.
He's
going to
gash.
Yeah, he ended up needing staples for it. Teacher standing right fucking there, does nothing, says nothing. He says, "Don't kick me." The kid cries out, right?
He claims that the kid was kicking him. And my favorite particle of this article was the no fucks given. When Lee later raised his pant leg to show Boast proof the boy kicked him, there was no injury, no scrape or redness visible on his shin.
There was footage showing that the kid did not, and the kid says, "I didn't kick you." Afterwards, he's like, "You're not going to fight me." And I'm like, the kid's like, "What the fuck? I can't. You're on top of me, you know?" And he, at this time, his body weight is still on this eighth grader. He's sweating. Another cop comes in and he gets off of him at that point, sweaty, out of breath. Like, that's how much force he was using. Like, the guy's like, got a fucking workout abusing this kid. Teacher still doesn't say anything. They take him outside, and even like the other cops, like, so there's not even any pot. Kid had no fucking pot on him. They're like, "Check his phone case, it may be in there." It's like, it's not big enough, and they check it anyway. There's no pot. They're like, all this. So they charge this kid for resisting arrest.
They did, yeah.
And, like, nobody called the parents to let them know, "Hey, your kid's been injured." None of this shit fucking happened.
Here's another infuriating part. I'm actually going to read from the article here just to make it more succinctly. A second KPD officer then arrived minutes later and noted that the boy was bleeding, obviously because he had a fucking gash in his chin. "You need an ambulance, brother? You've got blood coming down your chin." Before the boy could reply, Lee said, "I was going to call one anyways, just his chin. I just can't call one in here. I'm sweating a lot." The two officers bantered about Lee's sweat as the handcuffed and bleeding boy stood silently, the backpack still untouched by either law enforcement officer.
Yeah, they walked the kid out. So are you going to take the backpack off, or do we need to cut it? Like, he's fucking handcuffed. He can't take it off. The kid's like, fucking cut it.
Yeah.
Like, cut it.
Guess how many drugs they found?
None.
None.
None. Nothing. They found some cigarillos, and the one cop's like, "Yeah, that would have been a ticket." Like, that would have been a ticket. You had to fight me or some dumb shit.
There was
like
no
that.
Lighter, no marijuana paraphernalia. And literally body slammed a middle school student face first into a fucking desk.
One thing that really pissed me off about that is, like, the Tennessee Lookout, like, gave Knox County a copy of the body cam footage and asked a series of questions. And they, of course, they're like, they didn't answer any of the questions. "Without further investigation, we would not have the information responsive to your request." Then they asked that the school system would investigate after reviewing the video footage. And she responds, "It's my understanding that this took place last year." She got a letter from me today. Because I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? What does that mean? It happened last year? That's abuse of a child. If nothing else, that teacher is a mandated reporter. For the fact that they're a teacher. But then you, like the Knox County school system, should be making sure that your mandated reporters are reporting the fucking abuse that they see.
Yeah,
what that cop did was 100% abuse, and it should have been reported. She didn't do anything. I'm like, is she still working in these schools? Like, what other complaints do you guys treat like this? If a kid graduates high school and then comes out that they've been sexually abused, is your response going to be like, it happened last year?
Yeah,
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, and then what about the KPD? Because it was in fact KPD. no action from them. No, there's no response from them either. No accountability on their behalf. They just let that happen. They saw the footage. They saw it before we did. Well, we didn't actually see it. So the
Cape, yeah, the
we'd have to file a FOIA request for it.
Yeah, the lookout has not released that. But like KPD not being held accountable doesn't surprise me one bit. We're only recently seeing little bits. Like we just had an officer that got his little hand slapped or something because he lied on a police report. After no.
There was that one who took blood samples from a DUI or something. He took it home to his fridge.
And he got a slap on the wrist too, didn't he?
Yeah, he was suspended for 2 days.
Right, like these cops don't even follow their own fucking policies, and when they don't, it's just like, eh. What fucking motivation is that for them to follow their policies?
Yeah,
like this is a continual problem in Knox County, in Knoxville, where. They don't fucking know the policies or they just don't do it, which is like the fucking Chicago or I'm sorry, Minneapolis. Like that's the whole thing is they don't fucking know what they're doing. They don't have training. They don't know how to handle situations. There's no accountability. Knoxville is the same fucking issues. All three of those.
You know what? But I will go back and say, fuck that teacher, because had the teacher at the time made a huge deal about that, guess what? That would have been huge. That would have been public. There would have been outrage. A lot of public outrage. And that, you know what sparks change? A lot of public outrage.
You know what she did instead of speaking up or reporting abuse? She pretty much told the officer outside, yeah, he's a lost cause, irredeemable. His father,
so she
his
had
brother,
it out for him. So she already
she had it
not,
out for him. She did not like that kid. So she was okay watching that child, an eighth grader, be abused by an officer. Because that's what it fucking was. Abuse.
That's insane to me that she... Because, again, she was the one individual. Because we know the cops were always going to lie and not report anything they don't have to. But if that teacher would have said, just went to the media or made a post, today I witnessed a KPD slamming a kid's face and busting his chin open while not having drugs or resisting arrest or fighting back... There would have been, the outrage would have been huge, huge outrage. And then maybe there would have been some fucking change. Maybe there would have been some, that officer would face repercussions. As of right now, there's no update on the story because they're not the spokesperson.
I think KPD is looking into it. Didn't the article mention the family is suing?
If they did, I didn't see it.
I think the boy's family is suing.
Good. I mean.
They should.
Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
But then again. As we always mention, and I'll mention every time, it's always us, the taxpayers, that pay for that out of that astonishing multi-million dollar budget that we give KPD and not the actual officers.
No, it's not out of that. We have a separate account for lawsuits that we pay.
It still comes from taxpayers.
It's our money.
And that officer will not face repercussions.
But Knoxville gets sued so much that they don't want it to come out of their insurance or go against their insurance. So they just keep a fund to cover everything.
Fucking ACAB. That's a disgusting story. All right, well, that is going to wrap us up for episode 62 of Apostates on the Fringe. Thank you guys again for joining us this week. As always, check us out on social media. Share out the show every we can, leaving us a 5-star review to help us out with our visibility. As I mentioned before, you can go to our website, apostatepod.com. Every episode, I do list all the major links to the articles. Sometimes the shorter stories, I don't link in there. But every major topic, all the links and sources are in there, so you can view that. And if you'd like to, you can leave a comment or suggest topics if you'd like. We do still have that fundraiser going on for the Atheist Society of Knoxville, supplying the safe use kits. You can head to Atheist Society of Knoxville's website, knoxvilleatheist.org, to get that information. But we will see you all next week.
Fuck KPD and people who spread misinformation constantly.
Fuck systemic racism within all police departments nationwide.
Thank you all very much.
Views and opinions of the hosts of Apostates on the Fringe do not represent the views and opinions of the Atheist Society of Knoxville. For links to all our musical contributors, go to apostatepod.com and check the About Us page. A big thank you to Michael Scott Arden, who allows the show to use his full catalog.